Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 23. Remember, in the last chapter, Joash was stolen away before the queen mother or Ahab's sister could kill him with the rest of the royal family. So he was sent as a baby to the temple and raised there secretly by the high priest, a man by the name of Jehoiada. Her name was Athaliah, and she wanted to reign, and to a certain extent, that's exactly what she was doing when she raised up Omri like a puppet to sit on the throne. But now in this chapter, we're going to see that Jehoiada the high priest raises Joash in much the same way. Young Joash may be put on the throne, but being truly too young to govern a nation, he becomes a puppet of Jehoiada the high priest. But in the seventh year, we're told, verse 2 says, "But in the seventh year, Jehoiada took courage and entered into a covenant with the commanders of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jeroham, Ishmael the son of Jehohanan, Azariah the son of Obed, Maaseiah the son of Adiah, and Elishaphat the son of Zichri." Put those in your big book of Bible baby names. "And they went through Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And Jehoiada said to them, 'Behold the king's son. Let him reign as the Lord spoke concerning the sons of David. This is the thing that you shall do. Of you priests and Levites who come off duty on the Sabbath, one-third shall be gatekeepers, and one-third shall be at the king's house, and one-third at the gate of the fountain, and all the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. Let no one enter the house of the Lord except the priests and ministering Levites. They may enter, for they are holy, but all the people shall keep charge of the Lord." So, in an effort to use crowd control to create a buffer around the non-militant priests, Jehoiada uses the Levites as a body shield while staging a coup. The Levites, verse 7 tells us, shall surround the king, each with his weapons in his hand, and whoever enters the house shall be put to death. Be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out. When this commotion was heard, Athaliah knew that her time was up. So she ran into the temple for mercy. But she was polluted, and at no time could the blood of the guilty ever be shed in the temple. So Jehoiada told them, "Don't shed her blood in there, drag her out." In order to arm the temple guards, he actually used the shields and spears that David had up on the walls of his palace. Now, many people miss the significance of this, but why would the author of 2 Chronicles put this in there? Well, remember that Athaliah had been reigning as a pagan queen for years with her puppet Omri, and she had all of the military, all of the guards, and all of the weapons. This was a revolt led by the Levites, and they weren't allowed to go to war. Nevertheless, tucked deep away in the storehouses of the temple were David's weapons, and they used them to overthrow the wickedness of the pagan worship. Perhaps this was what Paul was referring to when he wrote to the Ephesians, using temple imagery as his theme in that letter, when he wrote about the weapons of warfare and the spiritual battle needed to protect what you have. Remember that every temple that existed had treasures within it, and therefore they had to be protected when foreign invaders came in. Paul seizes on this imagery in the letter to the Corinthians as well, who also had an impressive pagan temple in their city. And he says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, for the tearing down of enemy strongholds." Now stop and think for a moment. Against a world like this, what are your weapons as a Christian? Well, in Ephesians 6, Paul talks about prayer. When he breaks out the armor of God from the temple storehouse in the letter to the Ephesians, he says at the end, "Above all, pray." That's like calling in air support when the troops on the ground appear to be losing the battle. The word of God is number 2. He mentions that we hold in our hands a sword, and that's what you're doing right now. Swords are interesting that they can be both offensive for attacking, but they can also be defensive for parrying enemy blows, as Jesus masterfully demonstrated in the temptation in the wilderness, when at every point he quotes scripture back from the book of Deuteronomy, a book all about the importance of holding fast to the Word of God. And lastly, the shield of faith, courage. That's why this chapter begins by saying, Jehoiada took courage. The shield of faith is something we hold up against fear. Faith is the antidote to fear. We press on against the enemy's arrows by holding that shield of faith up and advancing despite any fears that we may have. Lastly, the weapon that you have against a generation like this is a holy and clean life. Paul tells Timothy that the servant of God who cleanses himself of all ignoble items becomes a powerful tool, equipped for every good work. That's why Paul in Romans 6 talks about yielding the members of our body as instruments, or a better translation, weapons of righteousness. We fight the good fight by how we live. That's why Robert Murray M'Cheyne, a Victorian preacher in Scotland, remarked this amazing quote, "A holy minister is a terrible weapon in the hands of God." And by terrible, he meant good. He meant you become a force to be reckoned with. The Levites must have been an unlikely army, and so are you. Few of us would probably make the first draft pick for any commando elite fighting force. Yet that's what God has done. He's actually enlisted us to be commandos for the kingdom. The chapter ends by not only seeing Athaliah put to death, but also, verse 16 to verse 21, chronicles all of the reforms that Jehoiada the high priest made while Joash was too young to rule. He set temple guards all around the kingdom to ensure that nobody would either overthrow Joash or reinstitute the pagan worship that Athaliah had reveled in. Not only did he kill the high priest Matan, but he killed him in front of the pagan altar that he worshipped on. Jehoiada meant business, and he meant the people of God to get back to business. In verse 16, Jehoiada made a covenant between himself and all the people and the king that they should be the Lord's people. You know, it's okay to switch gears at any time. Maybe, like Jehoiada, you've had enough, and it's time for you to start acting like one of God's people, to make a covenant that we will no longer give ourselves to paganism, but we will follow God. One of the evidences that this is happening in your life is the fact that you're sitting here today listening to the Word of God in 2 Chronicles chapter 23. It may seem like a small thing, but the fact you're sitting here today going through 2 Chronicles chapter 23 makes up a big part of the little changes that'll make up the rest of your life.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.